Good morning, glad to worship with you today. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen. My third grade teacher's name was Mrs. Stevens. Mrs. Stevens was old school in the best sense. And she was one of my favorite teachers, had a big impact on my life. Kudos to all you teachers out there. Mrs. Stevens instilled in all of us in her class a deeper love for reading. She taught us geography and math and spelling and many other subjects. But the most important thing Mrs. Stevens taught us actually had nothing to do with any of that. On the first day of school, it was time to line up for lunch, and Mrs. Stevens said, "Line up for lunch." And so, being the first day, we all scrambled and jostled to be first in line at the door to the classroom. And then Mrs. Stevens did something that none of us expected. She silently walked to the very end of the line where our one classmate in a wheelchair, Susan, was patiently waiting, as she always did. And Mrs. Stevens said, "This is actually the front of the line." And then she led Susan out first and all the rest of us afterwards. Of course, the next time Mrs. Stevens asked us to line up, there was a lot of scrambling and jostling to be close to Susan. But eventually we learned something, and I'll circle back to that later. Today I'm going to preach about something that's very dangerous, something that's subtle, something that can be easily overlooked, but something that's insidious and at the root of a lot of conflict in people's lives, certainly in people's relationships. I'm talking about entitlement. Not entitlements like welfare or Social Security. I'm talking about the idea of entitlement. That idea that somehow you're superior to others, that you're more deserving than others, that you deserve special treatment, privileges. You're entitled to these things, that other people owe you these things. I recently read a fascinating article entitled, pun intended, quote, "Sense of entitlement leads to vicious cycle of distress." It's an extensive article about an even more extensive research study project done at Case Western Reserve University in Cleveland by a PhD student. And in this article, it says this about entitlement. Researchers discovered entitlement, defined as a personality trait driven by exaggerated feelings of deservingness and superiority, may lead to chronic disappointment, unmet expectations, and a habitual self-reinforcing cycle of behavior. At extreme levels, entitlement is a toxic narcissistic trait, repeatedly exposing people to the risk of feeling frustrated, unhappy, disappointed with life. Oftentimes, life, health, aging, the social world don't treat us as well as we think we should be treated, and confronting these limitations is especially threatening to an entitled person because it violates their worldview of self-superiority. Reacting to perceived injustices, entitled people may direct their anger outward, blaming others while reassuring themselves of their own specialness, thus beginning the cycle all over again. Wow. That cycle of entitlement is scary. It's a very real phenomenon. That idea of exaggerated feelings of deservedness, accompanied with a worldview of self-superiority. It's all over the place. You don't have to look very far to find it, to find people who are indeed exposed to the feelings of frustration, unhappiness, who are disappointed with life, because other people have somehow not met their expectations, because they feel like they were entitled to more than they've gotten or been given. especially those who, like my third grade classmates and I, felt entitled because we had done all the effort to scramble and jostle to get to the front of the line. And shouldn't that effort be rewarded? Aren't we entitled to be first? Like an infestation of termites, gross metaphor, entitlement can undermine in an unseen way, just be disintegrating, causing horrendous unseen damage to what on the surface looks like a well-built structure, but in reality is on the verge of collapse. Entitlement always proves destructive in families, as parents may feel entitled to certain things from their kids or vice versa. Entitlement's always destructive in marriages if one spouse feels like they deserve more from the other. They're entitled to more, and the other one owes them. That will always undermine a marriage. Entitlement always proves destructive in any human organization or institution where there are some people who feel and act entitled, like they really deserve more than the rest of you peons. And yes, entitlement can even rear its ugly head in the church, but let's not get too uncomfortable. And yet in today's gospel reading, Jesus, in one of his most popular and most confusing for some parables, Jesus marks the end of entitlement. In this parable that for some people is the most annoying parable Jesus ever taught, Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. And so he hires the laborers and he says, I'll give you the daily wage at the end of the day. And then he circles back to where workers are hanging out. He circles back at 9 o'clock, hires them, circles back at noon, hires more, circles back at 5 o'clock, hires even more for that last hour. At 6 o'clock, all the workers line up to get paid. And the landowner commands the manager to actually pay the ones who just had worked an hour first and then pay the rest. And so all the ones who had been working more than an hour felt entitled to get more than what those who'd worked an hour received, which was the exact same daily wage that all of them had agreed to. And when they saw that everybody, even those who'd worked all day long, were paid the same wage as those slackers who had only worked an hour, well, they started to grumble and whine. But then the landowner says, I'm doing you no wrong. Didn't we agree on this daily wage? I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I'm generous? And then Jesus brings it home. So the last will be first, and the first will be last. And again, this parable of Jesus makes a lot of people uncomfortable. I mean, we live in a world that is a meritocracy, that from the cradle to the grave, you're taught to scramble and jostle to be the first one in line, whatever that line may be. And from an entitled worldly perspective, you kind of think, well, those who have borne the burden and the heat of the day, shouldn't they get paid a little bit more than the slackers who only worked an hour? And shouldn't they have been first in line instead of the ones who had just worked an hour and they get paid first as well? And again, this parable annoys some people. They don't like it. Especially folks who are kind of used to being toward the front of the line most of the time and who are very entitled. But for folks like my dear classmate Susan, third grade classmate who was bound to the wheelchair, just used to being at the end of lines, had given up long ago any sense of being superior or entitled or deserving. To those folks, the gospel of God's grace, as portrayed in this parable, is very, very good news. You see, when it comes to God's grace, God does exactly what the landowner in this parable does. God gives more than anyone deserves, beginning with those who appear least deserving. God silently walks to the end of the line to those who are used to never being in the front of the line and says, "This is actually the front of the line. The last will be first, the first will be last." And again, while this aspect of God's grace that God chooses to give to the last the same as everyone else and asks, "Are you envious because I am generous?" While this aspect of God's grace annoys the entitled for those who have gotten them over themselves in some way, that's very good news. In his 2009 book, Lost in the Meritocracy, Walter Kern, who's a renowned novelist and literary critic, describes his own journey of climbing the meritocracy, of always scrambling and jostling to be first in line in his academic background and in his career. And near the beginning of this book, Walter Kern says this: "A natural born child of the meritocracy, I've been amassing momentum my whole life, entering spelling bees, vying for forensics medals, running my mouth in mock United Nations. And I knew only one direction forward. I lived for prizes, plaques, citations, and stars. And I gave no thought to any goal beyond my next appearance on the honor roll. Learning was secondary, promotion was primary. No one ever told me what the point was except to keep on accumulating points. And this struck me as sufficient. What else was there?" And over the course of this book, Walter Kern vulnerably reveals how ultimately this ceaseless jostling and scrambling to be first in line in this meritocracy really left him empty and very self-centered and very entitled. At the very end of this book, he describes how he found himself laid up with pneumonia, just stuck in bed for a while at his mom's house. And he goes one day to this bookshelf of classic books that he had walked by countless times growing up, but never, ever read any of them. He started reading them. And then he writes this: "It began at last, my education. I wasn't sure what it could get me, whose approval it might win, or how long it might take to complete. But for once, those weren't my first concerns. Alone in my room, exhausted and sick, I forgot my obsession with self-advancement. I wanted to lose myself. Instead of filling in the blanks, I wanted to be a blank and be filled in." And you see, that's where God's grace meets us. God's grace meets those who, like Walter Kern, find themselves exhausted by the obsession with self-advancement or trapped in the cycle of entitlement. God's grace marks the end of entitlement. You see, Jesus never scrambled and jostled for the front of any line. Jesus never lived for prizes, plaques, citations, and stars. Rather, Scripture tells us that even though Jesus was and is the Son of God, and therefore entitled to all the privileges thereto, Jesus instead emptied himself, humbled himself to being a servant, executed among criminals in the most painful and degrading, dehumanizing way imaginable, death on the cross. In his passion and death, Jesus willingly became the one who actually bore the burden of the day and the scorching heat. Jesus willingly took the last place in line. Why? Because when it comes to God's grace, God does exactly what the landowner in this parable does. God always gives more than anyone deserves because God chooses to do so, because God is a gracious God. And God begins with those who appear the least entitled, to those stuck at the end of the line. And when it comes to God's grace, indeed, the last will be first, and the first will be last. Back to my third grade class for a moment, and then I'll close. Eventually, late in the school year, this grace that Mrs. Stevens showed Susan, our classmate in the wheelchair, this grace that she showed Susan every single day, started to rub off on the rest of us. As every single day we saw that Susan was chosen by Miss Stevens to be the front of the line, when we went to PE or music or lunch or recess, eventually that just felt right. We got used to it. But then one day in the spring, Mrs. Stevens said something that caught us all off guard again. She said, "Today when we line up for lunch, you all pick who wants to be first in line. You decide." And at first there were several of us, "Oh, me, and looking at each other, "Me, I should," and then it stopped. And there was this pause. And someone said, "You know, Susan should be the front of the line. It's the way it should be." Because somehow, that need to constantly jostle and scramble to be first just didn't seem that important to us anymore. It seemed more important that Susan, the one who couldn't scramble and jostle to be first, that she be given the first place in line, just seemed right. And when we did that, and we chose Susan, there was a smile on Miss Stevens' face that was bigger than any I remember the whole rest of the school year. Today, if you can relate to Walter Kern, maybe you're exhausted by the obsession with self-advancement. Or maybe somehow you're worn down by the ceaseless scrambling and jostling to be first in line. Or maybe you're trapped in the cycle of entitlement. You're really disappointed. You're really unhappy. And you're blaming other people for it. You're stuck. May the Holy Spirit enable you to remember that you are loved so much by the landowner, by God, that He died for you, to freely forgive you, that God is a God of grace. And may the Holy Spirit enable you to mirror Walter Kern and actually, instead of trying to fill in the blanks, desire to be the blank that God fills in with grace. More than enough grace for you, enough to give away to everybody else in line. Because God's grace marks the end of entitlement. God bless you. See you next week.